passion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self. Thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes in liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot's dream that sees beyond the year, thine alabaster cities clean, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and noble men keep once again thy whiter
There's about 14 more verses, but they are. Yeah. When I moved to New Zealand, national anthem of New Zealand is God Defend New Zealand. There's been a debate over the years of which should be our national anthem. And for a while, America the Beautiful was real close to being our national anthem. But the person who was motivated to write that poem was impressed by the grace and mercy of God poured out upon this place. And so, good thing to remember. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go to your word, and we talk about the difficult times to come, help us, Lord, to glean for this these passages, how we may stand firm, how we also may be strong for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be looking at verse 1 to 15. Paul tells Timothy, after he's been giving him instruction of how to be strong, to rekindle the flame and fire with him. Don't be timid. Don't back down. Be strong in the Lord. He says these words. He says, but realize this, Timothy, or I want you to remember this, Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Difficult times will come. Vance Habner said that our day is one of anarchy in the world, apostasy in the church, and apathy on the part of individual believers. This verse here talks about, but realize this, and in the last days, difficult times will come. Well, what does it mean by the last days? It means that the time between the ascension of Jesus Christ, his resurrection and ascension into heaven, he says, listen, I'm going to come again. It's that time in between. It's the latter days. Now, there will come a time, and Jesus spoke of it in Matthew chapter 24, a time of birth pangs and wars and rumors of wars. It says, but those are just the birth pangs, but at the end, here's what it says. It says, see to that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for these things must take place. But that is not yet the end, for the nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. And you have delivered you to tribulation. They will kill you, and they will hate. You'll be hated by all the nations on account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Then it speaks of perilous times, about an abomination of desolation. It talks about for a great tribulation will come. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about the time between Christ ascending into heaven and saying, I'm coming again. It's that time. And we'll be on a roller coaster ride of these things happening. And so let me read this to you. It says, verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, talking about the difficult times, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighted down by their sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, and the men also opposed the truth, men of depraved minds rejected as the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those the two men came to be. So we want to talk about this, is that the issue that in the last days, difficult times will come. Some versions say perilous times will come, but this is the more common word in the Greek language for difficult times. So I had to determine as I read this is that quite obviously this is what the world is like today. And Paul is writing this and saying it will be these ebbs and flows of these things happening. Now, the question really is that he's telling Timothy this, that he may be prepared. I want us to imagine, I did this with my staff on this week. I want you to imagine that I asked you if you would please drive your car from here to Lower Lake. How many of you would have the capacity to do that? Okay, there you go. If someone asked me to do that, I would just jump in my truck and I'd drive to Lower Lake. And on the way, I would look, oh, look, I have like... 3 gallons of gas or whatever. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd jump in my car and drive. But now I want you to imagine that I'm now asking you to drive to Sacramento. You're going, okay. Then you may check and see, well, do I have enough gas? Because I don't want to run out of gas by the Oasis on Highway 20, get stuck in between the flames of these two fires. So you're going to check and make sure you have enough gas. But let's say then I'll ask you, hey, I'd like you to drive from here to the Valley of Guadalupe in North Baja. You say, well, Gary, I've never been there. I think I have to cross an international border. Well, you're pretty smart people. And so you figure out, well, maybe I'll put that into my navigation system. Maybe I'll make sure that my cell phone actually works in Mexico. Maybe I'll make sure that I have my passport. This is not brain surgery. People do it all the time. You'll figure it out, right? But if I asked you to drive from here to Machu Picchu, Chile, or is that in Peru? Peru, sorry. Oh, see, I caught myself. If I asked you to drive from here to Machu Picchu, you go, some of us would go, hey, I'm in. Go, sign me up. I'm just that kind of person, Give me the ball coach. Here's the problem. There's a place outside of Panama, between Panama and Colombia, it's called the Darien Gap. As a crow flies, it's no more than 90 miles. It is impassable. Except for a person who did it between 1985 and 1987, Lauren Upton and his partner did it. It took them 741 days to traverse 125 miles. So is it humanly possible? Yes, it is. These two guys did it. No one recommends it. All right? The Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy, difficult times are coming. Well, how are we going to make it? Is there a Darien gap? Is it we're only somebody who's going to take 750 some odd days to get 200? Is there such a place like that? The answer is no. But the issue is this. It is difficult times are coming. Some have determined whether the future will bring a utopia or oblivion. And so all I need to do is turn to Scripture. And you know, the Bible says a utopia will come. It's called the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ is the king. And he shall reign. That's what the Bible says. And it says that nothing will thwart that kingdom to come. In fact, we're told to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, you're going to go through something. You're going to be driving from here to Machu Picchu. You better pay attention because I've been there. And he's saying, here's how to do it. So I've determined that I really don't want to focus on how bad it's going to get. Just read this list. I'll read it again. And you go, boy, it seems like that's what it's like right now. Sounds like half of our politicians. Sounds like the person living down the street. This week I was part of, last week part of the summit. What was it called? Innovation Summit. And what a wonderful group of people to be with. Talking about how we can fix Lake County. Healthcare workers, social workers, people involved with every aspect, mental health, police officers, all kinds of people trying to figure out how we can make this a better place. And I sat down next to someone, and we're privileged to have that person, great mind, great passion for this place, working in the healthcare world. And I realized this, is that when I lived and was pastoring in Ukiah, we put a lot of effort, and rightly so, into creating a homeless shelter that would be open all year long. And we finally did that, and people were excited because people are at great risk when they find themselves homeless. The cost to our healthcare system or to whatever is massive. And so it seems like a kind thing to be involved with, and we should. But here's what happened in Ukiah. People began to go, and then I call them the wolves, begin to circle around the area around that homeless shelter. There were people who were evil people. They were criminals. They were not only drug addicts, but they were drug pushers. And some of those people who were trying to escape their clutches, they knew where they were, and they would wait outside for them. My uncle struggles with schizophrenia. And so they used to call him Crazy Walt. You know, he's in Ukiah. And he was pretty, you know, pretty calm guy most of the time until he was off of his medications. But some of those same wolves, what they would do, they would prey upon the mentally ill, and they would try to get them off of their medications so they could take advantage of them. They're in this list here. Brutal. Haters of good. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Friends, the world's filled with evil. Now, I sat with a group of people a Friday or so ago, and those people didn't seem evil. They seemed like they were committed to do what was good, and that's good. But here's what I know about the world. I was not there on your behalf to throw cold water on the fire of hope. But here's what I know. If we move forward, and as we move forward to make this place a better place, we better stand firm in the Lord. It's going to be the power of God that brings about change. And so it tells us here the character of what the world will be like. And at the end, it's going to be like this on steroids. It says the love of people will grow cold. Well, this is pretty depressing. We should all just go home. What we ought to do is all sell our property. Just sell all of our homes, right? I know we have some teachers in this congregation, praise the Lord, so we'll have some teachers. I know we have some doctors. We got some doctors. We got a couple lawyers. We may need them, you know, may not. All right. We got some contractors. We can build anything we need. Let's just start our own little world, right? Let's figure out, first of all, where we would want to buy something. I'd like to have a kind of a nice climate. So let's figure some island in the Pacific someplace. Or I don't really like Idaho. It's too cold. But maybe, you know, someplace we could buy. Maybe just most of Lake County. And we'll build a big wall. We'll have to hire some guards. We'll just keep the rest of the world out. And let hell come. That's not what the Bible says to do. But Paul does say to Timothy, I want you to be aware that difficult times will come. So what are we supposed to do? Well, first of all, it says this, and this is in verse 5. It says, avoid such men as these. And literally the Greek word means turn your face from them. That your association should not be with evildoers. Don't partner with them. That's a challenging thing. But what if you work for one? Well, here's what it also says. If you're a Christian business person or a politician or whatever you're doing, then you ought to be Christ-like. So here's what it says, turn away. But then it says this. So first of all, we need to understand, we need to expect difficult times to come. And in that, not hide away in some cocoon or build some fortress city in the middle of nowhere, let the world just get all destroy itself. No, we are supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be as Jesus to this place. So, how do you get to Machu Picchu? Ultimately, this is that if I needed to get there and someone said, you must, to save your family and everything, you got to drive your car to Machu Picchu. I would seek out these two guys that did it. So how'd you do it? It took you a long time, but how'd you do it? Well, you got to have this, you got to have this, whatever. I think they use an old Range Rover of some kind, and a lot of spare tires probably, and a lot of patience. I'd want to seek them out. Well, who is Timothy seeking out? Let's look here at verse 10. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all of the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, however, continue in these things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which were able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, next week, we're going to be looking at the great verse 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness, that a man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So ultimately, here's how we make it. First of all, we make it by not being ignorant that we have difficult times ahead. All right? Isn't that fair enough? If I came, I'm going to pick on a farmer, a Christian. If I said, you know, I've decided a dream. I've always wanted to have a farm. It's got to be easy. You just plant stuff and it grows and then you sell it and you make money. Every farmer I've known, they've shaken their head. You got to be kidding. That happened when I was alive during the dot-com boom. All these rich dot-comers bought property in Mendocino County, Sonoma County, because they were going to be vintners, you know. And most of them went broke. Why? Because they had no clue as what they were doing. If I wanted to figure out how to get from this point to this point, man, I would want to find out from somebody who'd done it. Now, I want you to imagine that you're on an island or in some remote place, and there's a brilliant medical student. I mean, this guy's first-year medical student. He's got all the books, right? All the books of everything from all the different surgeries, all right? Now, you need some surgery. And this guy says, you know, I've had brilliant teachers, and I got all the books, but I got no experience, but I'm very smart. But then you have a guy who's been a surgeon for 50 years, but all he has in his bag is a razor blade and a little bit of alcohol. Who's going to do the surgery? I'm going with the guy with the razor blade and the alcohol. Why? Because he's done it before. Paul is saying to Timothy, here's a success to make it in difficult times. You have to find examples of those who have been successful before. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, what are those witnesses? They're the witnesses of chapter 11, who men and women of faith who have gone before. They trusted God at the Red Sea. They trusted God as they stood before Goliath. They trusted God as they stood there between a king who said, hey, we're going to slay all the Jews unless, you know, what happens. And so it says, we had this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Therefore, lay aside every sin and encumbrance which so easily entangles you, and run with endurance the race that is set before you. And here we go. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Then two words, the author and perfecter. The beginning, the pioneer, that's the word, the beginning and the end of our faith. The trailblazer. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the trailblazer of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, that's difficult times, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So he made it, didn't he? For consider him who has suffered such hostility by sinners against himself, that you and I may not grow weary or lose heart. Friends, when we have difficult times to face, and we do, and we will, and if you think they're difficult now, they may get even more difficult. I'm not trying to be a downer, but I got difficult things going on myself. But here's what I know in the midst of all that. He's the king. He will win. No promise that God has made ever is going to be forgotten, and he's not lying to us. Jesus Christ will reign. But difficult times will come. So he tells Timothy, you have followed my good example. You followed my good example. Now, here's the example, verse 10. You followed my teaching. We'll stop there. Well, that's important. You follow my teaching. So I think about, well, what are the teachings of Paul regarding difficult times? Well, Paul says, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry and having abundance and suffering need. I can do what? All things through him who strengthens me. I've learned the secret of that. I've learned the secret of contentment through the highs and lows of life. Well, that's one of the things we need to learn. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard in your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, whatever is of good repute or of any of excellence or praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on these things. Friends, Paul's been there. And he's about ready to tell Timothy at the end of this book, the time of my departure's come. I've run the race. I've finished the course. Now, there's laying ahead of me a crown. Friends, let's follow people who are showing how to get there. Maybe they've already gone through things. Maybe they've gone through things in their marriage or gone through things in their business or gone through things in life and pain and suffering. We not only have Jesus' example, but here we have Paul's example, and Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, follow my example of my teaching. So we'll talk more about this next week. The importance in difficult times ahead, we need to be men and women of the truth. Because it says, just like Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses. You know what they did? Moses threw down his staff and it turned into a snake. And you know what those guys did? They duplicated it. Well, what did they get? Was it sleight of hand? David Copperfield type stuff? You know, hocus pocus? No, I believe they had satanic power. Just because someone's able to do some miracle doesn't mean it's from God. Be wise. Things from God always point people to Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Lift up His Word. They don't substitute it. So, the first of finding those godly examples, here we have it, first of all, in the life of Jesus, and now we have it here in the life of Paul. He tells Timothy, follow my teachings. Follow my teachings. Next, he says, follow my character. And he says this, first of all, my conduct. The word conduct in the Greek there literally means my way of life. Follow my way of life. Now, that's a strong thing. Parents, can you tell that to your children or grandchildren? Hey, you want to know how to live for Jesus? Follow me. Watch me. Well, that's what Paul is saying. Follow my conduct. Christianity is a way of life that affects all of our life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And as difficult times come, there will be some who will be mature and some immature. And here's my prayer and what I pray as a pastor, that I would be able to equip the saints for the work of ministry, that they may grow up, it tells me in Ephesians, into maturity in Christ, that they may know Him. And so the fact is this, is that we want to be as a church where we are growing. We're growing in a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection and share in the fellowship of His suffering. So the first thing he says, you follow my teachings, next you followed my conduct, next you followed my purpose. What was Paul's purpose and God's purpose was to bring about God's purpose or His kingdom in the world. It tells us that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, I do all things for the glory of God. And then my life verse, which is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and following, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and share in the fellowship of His sufferings and if possible becoming like Him even unto death. And not that I've already obtained it, but I press on. Paul says, I want to know Jesus. I don't know, just know about Him. Did you know that the Bible is the number one selling, has been the number one bestseller in the United States for decades? And we're just getting better and better, aren't we? I'm being facetious. Friends, we need to hand out Bibles. We need to get a Bible in every person's hands. But you know what? We need to get them to read it. We need believers to believe it. And say, you know what? Here I stand. Difficult times will come. Difficult times will come, and I think of the neighbors that surround me. I have the Reeses who live next door, and they love the Lord and part of this church. And I have other people who I don't know they know the Lord. I know there's often goofy things happening at their house. There's police showing up and all kinds of stuff. So when things really get tough and the world begins to collapse around them, where do they turn? Well, I want to be there that they may turn to the Lord. And the only Lord they know is what they may see in Sue and I. So that's how it works. The world's collapsing. We're not going to collapse, are we? We're going to be strong in the Lord. So Paul also says, be strong in faith, or the word literally, faithfulness. Paul's saying, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Friends, we must be examples to those around us, to our children, to our grandchildren, for whether we have children or not, of a person who walks by faith. And here's how that works sometimes. Sometimes you're going to be going through times of pain and suffering and difficulty, and you're going to have to hang in there by God's grace and mercy, because that's how it works. It's not easy answers, so you're just hanging in there. I mean, a lot of stuff doesn't seem very fair, right? Sometimes the answers to prayers are a long ways off, or maybe the answer is in heaven. I don't know. But here's what I know. I want to be faithful to the Lord, because difficult times will come, and they're going to get really difficult for some when they stand before the Lord with no excuse. Why didn't you accept the gift of grace and mercy? Why didn't you accept me as Lord and Savior? And someone said, well, I was too busy being into my own thing. The Apostle Paul says this, he says, follow my example of patience. Also one of the fruits of the Spirit. It literally means having a short fuse. Or a long fuse, I mean, not a short fuse. Having a long fuse. Some of you have a short fuse. Some of you have a short fuse and go, I was just born that way. Well, get over it, you know, really. You know? It says, it's having a long fuse, not being easily provoked. Paul says, follow my example of love. Follow my example of perseverance. Perseverance is enduring during difficult circumstances. Some of you, you're right in the middle of that right now. You are enduring. You're persevering under trial. People are watching. Why? Because they need to know, is the Jesus that's in you, is he capable of carrying you through? Paul then goes on to say this, persecution, suffering such as happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened in some of those places. One of those places, they tried to lynch him, so he took off. Another place, they stoned him, leaving him for dead. And many people think he was dead, and God raised him up. But of anything, he was severely injured and unconscious. And somehow, they left him alone, thinking, well, he's dead. And ultimately, he came to, and you know what he did the very next day? He walked right back into town. I wouldn't have done that. I'm thinking my first thought, fire from heaven to the people who tried to stone me to death. No. There was a love. There was a perseverance. And he tells Timothy, that's what you need to model. And then he says these words, and this is for all of us. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All of us. Difficult times will come. Friends, I think that we need to not be unknown. We need to know what's happening, that difficult times will come, that we're supposed to be strong in the Lord, not partner with those bad things. But we're also supposed to follow and be a positive example of what it means to be a man or woman of faith. And then we need to be strong in the truth and the Word of God. And we'll talk more about that next week. But here's what it says. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. How are we going to make it during difficult times? We must cling and embrace the truth. We must know the truth. Because deception's coming. Counterfeits are coming. And the Lord has told us to be ready. We're going to share around this table. It's a beautiful thing that here we have two roses which are representing the two children. And I'll name them again that we honor. Copper and Kinsley. Kinsley Rose. I wonder what the world's going to be like when they're my age. Here's what I can tell you. It's going to be great because they can know Jesus. Don't be fearful about having kids. I would be fearful about having a kid if they couldn't know Jesus. If there was no hope. If we lived in a world where it was all left to the pirates and the misfits and the evil ones and the wolves. But Jesus will get us safely home. And in the midst of that, we'll serve as His servants and we'll be ambassadors of light and love. And we'll tell people what this table is all about. That God came, He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again. And salvation can be found in Him and Him alone. And He's coming back to take us home, but also to set everything right. And people, this is the day of salvation. I'd like to invite the servers to come as we share around this table. How are we going to make it in the difficult days? Same as Paul, same as Timothy. We're going to cling to Jesus. What are you going to do during the dark nights of your soul? You're going to cling to Jesus. That's the solution. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and love. We thank You, Lord, that we know that perilous times are coming. And You've asked us to drive from Kelseyville to South America. And we don't need to fear that because You've already been there and back. Lord, You are the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So, Lord, help us as we remember You. The bread representing Your broken body and the blood, Your shed blood for our sins. And Lord, we're not worthy of this, and so we stand in Your grace and mercy. But Lord, help us to quietly meditate upon the fact that we must cling to You. And if there's anything in our life, Lord, that is keeping us from a closer walk with Thee, then reveal it that we may confess it. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Sometimes I wish that Jesus would just show up outside the door of my house and knock and say, "Hey, Gary, here I am glowing, and what do you need?" But he's already done that. He said, "Blessed are those who believe who have not seen." And so I'll keep on believing, and so will you. Because God came for us. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Let us do this in remembrance of him. As you hold on to this cup, realize this, is that sin separates us from God. And sin also breaks harmony with the Lord. And if there are things in your life, even now, that you know the Lord would have you turn over to him or confess, then do that even now. And that you may walk in a close manner with him. As a believer in Jesus Christ and as pastor of this church and your brother in Christ, God has placed us all here for such a time as this. The world we live in and the county we live in is messed up because it's predicted. There's people who choose not to follow the Lord and dysfunction and sin and brokenness. I pray that you would join with me in determining that we want to be part of the solution. And that solution starts by each one of us determining that we're going to be a courageous and passionate follower of Jesus Christ. We'll start each day in the Word and prayer. We will walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll do all that we can do to glorify Jesus in our life. Let us do this in remembrance of Him. Amen. Let me encourage on the way out, a special offering, benevolence offering for those in our church and others who come and have special needs. Let's stand and sing, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Heavenly Father, take us from this place and filled with Your Spirit and filled with a greater sense of our purpose in difficult times, Lord. We would stand strong, and even ourselves would be an example to those around us of faith. So use our lives and bring us back then refreshed. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Come back for some hymns tonight if you want to at 5:30.